No, it does not matter where we start because
Okay.
AEW was dull and inconsequential just like last week. They're on a weird streak. I'm not even bagging the show.
Another one of those, like, everything was a six. I think we talked about this last week. Everything was a six. Just like, okay. Like, this was, like, inoffensive. Like, it didn't really do anything for me. I would say the main event was probably the best thing. Kevin Knight versus Swerve Strickland.
Okay. I know we'll start the end with that. They're treating Kevin Knight like he's some, bubbling rookie all of a sudden. Remember when he came in? It was like, oh, he's a superstar in Japan. Or he's on the rise in Japan. And here he's in AEW. He's going to be a shooting star and all this. And he gets in. He wins some matches. Didn't he have a match with Kyle Fletcher? Or he came close in the Continental Classic.
He's had a bunch of big matches.
And then, but listening to the commentary, you'd think, oh my gosh, this plucky upstart, he's lucky to even be in the ring with Swerve. I'm like, wait, what? When are we like, are they going through a soft reset of stuff? Because, like, this show.
I guess that was the other thing, just because you kind of mentioned it, and it was something that happened throughout this because, and you mentioned the announcers, Taz being back, just it completely changed the vibe at the desk. I have no idea, nor do I care about what his beef is with Tony Schiavone.
I don't.
I don't
There,
get it. It doesn't do anything for it. It actively makes the broadcast worse.
yeah.
And Schiavone's just like, when did I piss in your Wheaties? Like, I mean, he always seems to have the response of like, oh, okay.
Yes, there was literally one part. It sounded like Taz said something about almost like murdering Tony Schiavone, like someone was gonna like end Tony Schiavone, and Taz was like, "I wish you would," or something like that. And you just heard Tony go, "What? What? Why?" That was the reaction, and Taz never said anything back. And it's like, I'm all for good-natured ribbing, but you're right. It did like it took over a healthy dose of the commentary. It was weird. Like Taz coming back has to be a bad guy announcer now as well.
But he's always had a thing for Schiavone that again, like, I guess I know enough that he was back for one broadcast, and I'm just like, oh shit, that's right, they have a beef, and I have no fucking idea why they have a well, and it's a one-sided beef too, which is the other wild thing about it. Like, it is Taz against Tony Schiavone, and Tony Schiavone just questioning why Taz hates him is at least 75% of the time.
And but then he's like good-natured with Excalibur. Like, what? Wait, I'm confused what's going on here. Like, the
Yeah, are
beef
you
with
a bad
Schiavone.
guy?
And because I remember the old Darks, it was Taz and Excalibur. And most of the time, and Big Show was on there, or Paul White was on there as well. Most of the time, they weren't even calling the matches. They were just cutting up the whole time, which after a while got old, but it was kind of fun. But yeah, it's weird. And it does take away. And then you add Don Callis, and it's like, oh, God, here we go. And
That first was it hour or most of the first
he was out
hour
there.
they had, well, no, they had Callis out there, and then who else came out there as a fourth, because it was Callis, someone else, and then Callis came out for the next match. I'm
Stokely?
trying, that
Stokely
might
didn't really
have,
say too much.
yeah, and that might have been later. In the okay, yeah, because it wasn't the Samoa Joe match, but yeah, the Moxley, the Death Riders versus Team Callis got Don Callis, Oh yeah, I guess it was Stokely came out then, because it was the FTR match was
Okay.
next up,
Yeah.
and then they went back to the Kenny Omega versus Josh Alexander. So Callis came back out after that. So yeah, not only did we have the Taz weirdness, we got Don Callis 2 times in 3 segments, which is never, never, ever helpful.
No. And I know it's redundant and it's beat a dead horse, but Don Callis is not the heat magnet they think he is. Like,
Oh,
it's just a
and that
fun
was
chant.
one where even I, this was one where I commended Taz, and Taz is like, "Oh yeah, I'm a multi time world champion, unlike someone else at the desk."
Yeah.
And I'm just like, "Dude, like, why are you being this big of a dick to Don Callis right now?"
I was trying to remember, like, did they do anything to Hook or
Like
something like that?
I kind of laughed about it. I mean it well, and that was the other thing. He's been so on again, off again with Hook as like really caring about him or not, that it came off really aggressive how he was defending Hook in this episode.
Yeah, who did he say tried to end his career? Was it Swerve or was it Hangman? It has to be Swerve, right? Because Hangman didn't have a match this week. Yeah, Hangman didn't have a match this week. Because he was talking about, I'm gonna try and maintain my journalistic integrity or be impartial or something like that. But this
Yeah,
guy
it
did
had
try
to
to
be.
end my son's career or whatever. So I was like, so did Samoa Joe when they were like, make up your
What?
mind.
Yeah,
This
there,
whatever. Like,
yeah, Taz is one of those, like, he likes to do his shtick, even though there's definitely parts of his shtick that just don't jive with other parts of what he's doing.
yeah. And it does take away, but it's like, and the thing is, what happened with the desk was more memorable than what happened with most of the matches. Like, the show was inherently uninteresting. What started was the Death Riders, the most unintimidating group in wrestling history, outside the Oddities maybe, and even then, they at least looked scary.
Yeah, you I would have been more scared by the oddities
Yeah.
than this group. 'Cause yeah, that was the second matchup. It was the street it
Oh, Joe and Speedball was first, right?
correct.
Yeah, was whatever. Like,
That was fine.
yeah, it again. Yeah, it's fine.
You know,
Good.
like I it yeah, it didn't knock my socks off. I thought there were some funny bits to it. I actually enjoyed the crane kick part. Just because in a lot of ways it was almost the anti-Samoa Joe. You know, like I always like everyone loves him for walking away from the dives all the time. But in this instance, he's just like, this is so dumb. And he walked into it. You know, like it like he caught himself, like I mean, you know, like he only had himself to blame for that. Like it was just like
So I was going to interrupt this part for Kevin Knight and Swerve, because you talked about Samoa Joe just walking away from those dives, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was legitimately impressed with this train of thought and the execution. Swerve did the same thing to Kevin Knight. He rolls out. Kevin Knight gets on the jump on him. Swerve walks. He gets on the top rope. Swerve gets closer to the corner, the pole, so he can't jump on him. So he like fakes that he's getting down. Swerve keeps walking. He just jumps and swerves in the right spot and he hits him. I'm like, that's how you do it. Like, Swerve's, I'm trying to swear, Swerve's an effing professional. Avoided it, and just walked and was like, he better be here. And he nailed him. And it was like, it's not Swerve going, looking up the whole time, going, "Are you gonna jump on me? Are you gonna jump on me? No, you jump, you better hit me." And it was great. I was super impressed with that because that's not what this company does. Although there's another part going back to the beginning, not Samoa Joe, the second match that really I really liked too. So even though you see it coming.
Oh yeah, so but yeah, fine match between Samoa Joe and Speedball. And yeah, the Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia, just oh man, I honestly can't think of two guys that have just really done nothing.
Nothing. And here's the difference between the two. At least Wheeler looks like he could be a little crazy. Like he's like the feral guy you'd find in the woods. He's been lost from his deployment
And
for a year. Where Daniel Garcia is
and
like, "Hey guys, like what is this?" Humping the guy doing or doing the humping motion while he's doing a Boston Crab. Was it Boston Crab or a sharpshooter at the end? And I was like, "Oh, this sucks." Like, he it's, never mind, it's a dead horse.
yeah,
Drives
and
you.
well, and Wheeler Yuta has packed on some muscle LBs too, so good for him. Like he's never going to be the biggest guy just because he's a little vertically challenged.
Yeah, but you can make yourself look better in different ways, and he's kind of done that. He's covered up his deficiencies. Where the other guy is like, "Yeah, I have string arms, I weigh 110 pounds maybe, and I do weird gyrations and faces." And it's okay, but like this match, all right, this one kind of pissed me off. You've got 6-on-3, essentially. It took the Death Riders, all of them, to beat these three Jokers.
Well, John Moxley should not have picked Yuta and Garcia as his partners for this
Yeah.
particular match. Evidently, Pac, the ever injured, is ever injured. But
I hope that's just part of an angle.
Claudio did not have anything else to do the rest of the night, so he really should have been in there.
Well, he did wrestle Collision, so they taped that later. But I know what you mean, but
Oh, hold on, they're just still not doing the they didn't record that already?
yeah, they recorded Collision after Dynamite.
Oh, I thought they were still doing that residency. Are they done with
They
that
canceled it
residency?
because of the storms. They canceled it, so they just recorded it in Orlando.
Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
So, but that, all right. So Claudio's participation in this was actually one of my favorite part of this match. So Pat comes out with the crutches. Was it Lance Archer?
I
Isn't
think
that?
so.
I think so. And you see Claudio walking towards the ramp in the background.
Oh,
And then
yeah.
Pac holds his crutch up. Claudio goes running, grabs it, and smacks it over. I'll say Lance Archer. I can't remember who it was.
It's Archer.
I really like
It was
that.
in Hechicero.
Okay.
It
Yes, that's right.
definitely wasn't Rocky Romero, so
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was pretty clever. I liked the way it was shot.
That was a
So,
really fun. I did
yeah.
enjoy that spot in the in that, but it was one of those things where I loved how Tony Schiavone even yelled at Don Callis. He's like, Don Callis, like, why are all these people from the Death Riders interfering? And Schiavone's like, it's a street fight, dude. There are no rules. Like, why isn't the rest of your family out here helping your boys out?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a family. Like, you know that the Death Riders are going to come around in a pack. Like, what are you didn't have a backup plan? It sounds like the brain Don Callis is, I'm definitely taking Paul Heyman, 110 times out of 100 over Don Callis for thinking
Yes.
ahead.
Yeah. Well, that was actually kind of one of my problems with the first match is they established like Hangman, they're the trios champions. Well, Kevin Knight, they're like, hey, you got to concentrate on your match. Well, Speedball goes out there. Shibata and Hook are interfering. Where the hell's Hangman? Come out and help. Nah. It's like,
Yeah,
I.
Hangman could have helped out in that situation for
Yeah, it's like,
sure.
I appreciate them. Like, they used to do a really good job with that. If your babyface is in trouble, their friends would come out. And they've
Yeah,
kind of.
unlike the WWE where the baby faces are always lone wolves.
Well, but when Hunter took over, WWE, they did do that for a while. And now, nope. No one, yeah, you're right. No one does. It's weird. Like
Yeah, it's
the whole
one of the
setup's
things
bizarre now.
again, like you said, like it's something that it's a small thing but does set AEW aside where the baby faces are allowed to have friends that will defend them
But it seems
rather
like
than them just getting their asses handed to them by like six person groups.
Yeah, it's like Natty beating up on Maxxine Dupri this week. Like, did Otis and Tozawa just not be there?
Yeah, they at least could have come out and verbally assaulted
Yeah.
Natalya.
Done something. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, but like this match, like I had no chance in hell with the Death Riders losing, even with Jobber One and Jobber Two. And because it's like
Oh.
we got Rocky Romero, which why is he wrestling on TV? Seriously, why is Rocky Romero on TV?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, okay.
He's like it's never one of those he's not good at wrestling, but it's just like we know he's gonna lose. Like what? He doesn't have anything. Like he's got no pool.
Yeah, and it's like, but he's a never was, and I'm being mean about it, saying it like that.
What,
It's
him
Rocky
and Trent
Romero. Like,
Beretta were a thing.
yeah, where'd he go? Is he hurt again?
Yes.
Oh,
Yeah, he's been on the shelf.
that
Yeah.
sucks. So,
Yep, he's been on the shelf for a while, unfortunately for him.
got the wings on. So, that's what that face was. But yeah, but like the Don Callis, I mean, you're right though. There's like 27 of them,
Yeah,
and no one
they
came to
couldn't.
help them. So,
No, I don't expect Kyle Fletcher or
Okada.
Okada, the big guys don't need to come out. Where's El Clone?
Isn't he just clon? Isn't he just clon? He's not even El Clon. He's just clon. And
Okay,
it's
sure.
like, all right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Sure.
where's he? I mean, you can at least give Andrade the he has a match on Collision excuse.
But they don't tell you this. You only
He
know because of the results.
no, they did mention that actually.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes. They did pre-advertise his match
Was it in
on the sh
between Taz
on
just
the sh on the show at some
bullying over
juncture.
everything? But what else was there? Like, I don't even know what was after this.
Third match, 'cause I know that we didn't really oh, whatever. Yeah, the FTR against the Jobbers.
Well, no, they're the GCW tag team champions. Oliver and oh no.
Yeah,
Alex Price.
Alec
Alex Price.
Price and Jordan Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan Oliver. I was dumbfounded when AEW signed them. It's not that they're not good. It's just, huh? I don't know. It just didn't seem like it fit.
Yeah, their tag team division still stinks on wheels.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Jordan Oliver's good, but he's awkward. And I'm glad he didn't do, I don't remember him doing it, his weird, like Razor Ramon kind of tribute thing. It's very awkward. But Alex
Oh.
Price is, really kind of showed how small he was too. But it was funny, like they're talking about, oh, these guys and this. And I was like, ah, I guess GCW doesn't get a chance to have their tag team titles on the show, which, that's fine. But that was one of the rare ones I was watching this weekend after they got their contracts, and the GCW crowd was actually cheering. for him.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, I did not see that coming. So they'll be gone.
Yeah.
But it's a fine match. And I liked, okay. There's another part in commentary that legitimately made me laugh. Something happened, and I don't know if it was like near fall. I think the Cash almost took, and Tony turns to Stokely and goes, and he says, "Oh," he's like, "Boy, that almost made you jump out of your phony wheelchair." And he said it with such like just dripping with disdain. I laughed. I was like, "That was that." It rolled off the tongue so easy for Tony. It was almost as like, does he really not like Stokely? Like, I thought it was great.
Tony rides Stokely pretty hard, but he actually keeps it fairly entertaining versus Stokely. Like, I do feel like there's enough of a wink on those ones that I'm not questioning it. There are definitely other times where I feel like Mr. Schiavone is sending messages.
But no, I this match was fine. It was a good showcase for Oliver and Bryce, but I like them. I liked them in GCW, but that's where I always saw them. Like, that was the highest level they're getting to, and this match didn't really dispel that for me. So maybe some tweaks and it'll be fine, but
Yeah, they really need, just because of their size, because FTR is not, they're a medium-sized team, I'll to be generous. And they made those two guys look really small. Like, they're another two guys. It's just like, okay, guys, you don't need to live on ramen anymore.
Well, the thing is, Jordan Oliver's put on weight. He was a rail. He was a rail. So he's actually, I won't say bulked up because I think that's the wrong word, but
he's gotten bigger.
he's got a little thick again, or getting thick, I should say, not again.
Yeah,
So,
okie
but yeah,
dokie.
but
But
I am
yeah, they
watched him
both look
struggle.
really young, so it's like one of those, okay, whatever. Like, that still might just happen with time, kind of thing.
And seeing him toil around with GCW and other indies, it's pretty cool to see, guys you've been watching with no fanfare, and they're getting paid too. Like, they are contracted with the AEW now. So probably gotta be the biggest paycheck they've ever gotten. So it's like, good for them, man.
Up next, hard to not talk about Harley Cameron, Willow Nightingale, and Chris Statlander, all with various amounts of gold and delivering a fun promo. One of the I don't really have any complaints department promo here.
No, I didn't. I thought Statlander, that was the most fluid she's ever sounded on the mic. Like, she usually comes off a little awkward, but the words were kind of goofy, kind of cliched, but I thought it was all right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was glad, and I guess it kind of goes back to, and we skipped over at Tekla earlier in the evening.
I liked that until she spit at the camera. And I was just like, we already saw Marina Shafir spit on Lance Archer. It was her gum, but she already spit on him. And now Tekla was like spitting at the camera. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what kind of weird Tony? Like, Tony got a weird spitting fetish now? Like,
Well, she was being toxic. The bigger problem that I had is, if you're gonna do that, I want to see a loogie on the camera.
I don't.
I spit on my glasses more to clean them. So
That's true.
I
That's true.
thought in that department it was ineffective. That I'm like, there was so little on the camera. I'm like, did she really spit? Like,
I mean, she did. So that's like,
or she just fake spit?
Yeah, I don't know. Spinning's just a weird one to me.
Yeah, don't really love it. But like you, I did overall enjoy the match. Oh my gosh, I am watching and am a little bit behind on TNA.
Yeah.
And is Trey Miguel the one that already was released?
Yeah. Because I guess he said some homophobic stuff like 6 years ago, which he's apologized for already. And I guess that's not good enough. So the higher ups at W Warner Brothers got rid of him, which, by the way, they're only doing because they're trying to sell. So which AEW's not going with him. So who cares?
It seemed a little drastic, given the situation, quite frankly.
Well, you got to make sure people get publicly flogged. So, for being dumb.
But yeah, he's in the Feast or Fired match here, so I'm assuming he gets a fired
He
briefcase.
is? I thought they were all gone. Oh, well, hang on. Let me put that back on. I had the Wings game on.
It's just Trey Miguel. He's the only one in the match, I think,
Well, the
from the
crazy thing
Rascals.
is this is live. Like, this isn't recorded. So, huh. I guess it could be him. Boy, that stinks. I know it's an aside here, but all right, so you weren't under contract with TNA anymore. So you choose to go to AEW. They release you, and now you're back in TNA just to get fired, possibly. That's crazy. But hey,
Oh,
thanks.
hold on. Yeah, that's. Oh, shit. That was AEW. That is wild.
Yeah.
I was not connecting the dots even myself, seeing it back out there.
Yeah, this is such a stupid concept, by the way. Feast or fired. It's always been dumb. But
Yeah, I still feel like the downside outweighs the upside. In this situation.
oh,
Oh, and
wait.
I am still behind, by the way.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. I'm getting Jeff Hardy and Mustafa Ali or Mustafa Ali. Oh. Oh, well, I
Yeah,
guess.
I started maybe about 15 minutes late and have not completely caught up at this point.
Don't even know if they do the fire rain today or not. I don't remember how it works.
Oh yeah, but yeah, because is it a championship contract that you win?
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah.
And I, yeah, I don't know. Like, 'cause 1-4 is.
Oh, there's Mance Warner. I don't know where he's been.
Yeah, I still don't love those odds when you're just randomly picking something.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go back to the Wings game. All right. So anyway, let's get back to AEW.
Josh Alexander, Kenny Omega, after the Babes of Wrath had their good promo. Oh yeah, we were talking about Tekla spinning.
Yeah, it's
She had a
just.
good promo, but yeah, I guess we can move on to Omega and
Yeah, it's
Josh
fine.
Alexander.
Hey, could you believe Kenny Omega won this? What a surprise, right?
Yep,
I think.
two great Canadians with a wrestling match here.
Yeah, and there you go. That's kind of the theme of the show. Oh, we got two wrestlers having a wrestling match. Next. Hey, we got a tag team match. Next. Hey, we're back to singles competition. Next. It was just like a stamp, like it's like don't next, like assembly line. That's what the show was.
Because yeah, I don't remember anything from the Omega Josh Alexander match. Like, we've
No.
been talking about standout moments for other matches, because the fifth match, I definitely remember one thing because I went back and rewound it. Mina Shirakawa and Toni Storm taking on Megan Bain and Penelope Ford. When Megan Bain tossed Shirakawa over Toni Storm's head and she landed face first on the floor. I was unsurprised by Toni Storm doing the right thing and dropping down and making sure that she was okay before getting back to the match. Megan Bain had to kind of do a little freestyle in the ring because of it, but holy smokes. It was just one of those Toni Storm, a little bit vertically challenged. Megan Bain is a strong woman and just overshot things a little bit.
She seems to be one that probably doesn't realize how strong she is. She is nearly 6 foot tall. So she's not a small woman, which is, you can see that, So,
Yes,
but
and even especially by AEW standards, kind of like the men's division, they do not have a lot of big women.
no.
And she it's like her and Chris Statlander, and that's about it.
Yeah. And
It's it,
they
I
already
mean
went
it's
through
kind
that
of
match
wild
too.
that Mercedes Moné is one of the bigger women in their division, and she I would never put her in the the bigger side of the overall women's wrestling landscape.
This match, I say the result surprised me for a change. With like, and honestly, I think it's good with the world's safest doomsday device. Like, I was like, good. I mean, that's, you got to make sure you're not going to kill the other person. So.
There's that. And then yeah, like you said, like it was just kind of match tonight. Like there were those couple of segments, but there wasn't a whole lot because sixth match of the night, 2 hour show, six matches is a pretty solid clip, especially when they all tend to go. The women's tag team match was almost 11 minutes.
When is
And they
AEW's
had
next?
what, like an 11-minute overrun, and the main event was 17, just a shade over 17 minutes.
When is their next pay-per-view and what is it? I don't remember them saying anything. Or at least it didn't get through to me.
I do not remember. If they
Yeah.
mentioned it, I don't really remember. But I do feel like they have a little time off.
March 15th, that's why. Revolution. So that, yeah,
Yeah.
that's why. Okay. All right. I thought so because I was like, I don't remember them hyping anything. So I guess maybe they're putting pieces in place right now.
Just because AEW still does have a little more free time. They do tend to have these kind of slower periods.
Yeah, but then they got like two in a month. March 15th, then April 12th.
their timing sucks. What can I
Yeah,
say?
yes. And then I then well, for now, the next one is August 30th in London. So I'm gonna try and get 40,000 people in Wembley Stadium. So slowly but surely we're dwindling it down. But I do have, like there is like one gripe though. So going back to Moxley, they had to remind us he's the Continental Champion. That title was useless when it was on Okada, and it's just the same place with Moxley. Even the international title's worthless.
They love to have singles champions in tag matches or triple or six man matches for
Yeah.
reasons that I can't fully ascertain on just too much of a regular basis.
Yeah. I mean, because Ricochet is the national, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, national. Okay. He wasn't even on the show, I don't think, this week.
He has been a to borrow the was the ass boys phrase collision cowboys.
Oh, by the way, you watch Collision still, or have you stopped for right now?
I watched it in the background as Chris and I did the show
Oh, okay.
on Tuesday, so I at least watched what happened.
So is
I
Juice
did not
Robinson
listen
hurt?
to it.
And then how are Billy and Austin Gunn back together?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't care. Well, I don't watch Collision that
Yeah.
consistent. This one was probably the first one I've watched in about a month because there were that the way the Christmas holiday fell, I missed a lot of stuff in between because of how weird the
Yeah.
dates were
Yeah.
this past year.
Yeah, but they showed that graphic on Dynamite. Austin and Billy Gunn are teaming up. And I was like, wasn't that a major story of them breaking up? Like, I
It
know it's a
was,
couple years ago, but
and that's the problem is that they, I don't know if they're pulling the old WWE. Hey, everyone's gonna forget that that happened like 3 years ago.
yeah. It's so weird. That was like one of the, like, wait, what? Sort of things. But yeah,
Yeah.
I also don't care. So, 'cause I remember the last time Billy Gunn was on TV, for that matter.
Him and what's his name? What's the gay guy's name?
The Acclaimed?
But
Oh, Anthony
specifically
Bowens.
Anthony Bowens.
Yeah.
Him and Billy had some problems. I don't because I don't know if he helped him get back together with Max Caster, and I don't feel like I've
No.
seen either of them
No, they were forced
recently.
to be together and now they're begrudgingly working together. Okay. The dumbest story. It's just the dumbest story. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I was
so
just
yeah,
curious.
yep, do not watch that much of Collision to
Yeah.
know why that's a thing.
Yep. So yay. Well, that was an easy Dynamite review when nothing, literally nothing of interest happens on the show. There's not a lot to talk about, which isn't good. I mean,
NXT kind of similar spot-ish.
yes, absolutely.
I will admit there was some amongst our group that were unimpressed by Ilio Lafleur.
He was just being like, the guy didn't do anything wrong. He's just out there wrestling. You know, people complain that I'm the curmudgeon. Me? Okay. Okay.
Yep.
The kid was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. Like it was kind of a good I think it worked out well for both parties, honestly. Ethan Page hadn't actually wrestled on TV for a while. You give him a match to at least get him, the North American Championship on the line. I feel like we've more recently seen a mixed tag team match on TV than a North American Championship. So I mean, it gets that out there. It gets him a win, introduces someone new,
Yeah.
and still gives that guy somewhere to come back to if they feel like doing that storyline wise.
But
You
it's,
know,
to
like I don't
me,
think they'll do it immediately, but it'd
no,
be
no, no.
smart if they could come back. If Ethan Page sticks around for a while, I think it'd work to come back to that story at a later date here.
Yeah, but like the whole point was to make sure that the new guy looked good. He did. And, you know, it may not be everyone's cup of tea. He didn't do anything wrong. No missed spots. He came out, looked impressive, and then Ethan made sure he looked good. What more do you want out of a guy's first match? You know, it's, I mean, I'll give you, like, yeah, it's kind of weird seeing a French dude dressed like a luchador. But I
Especially
don't.
with terrible scraggly blonde hair.
Yeah, I know. So,
Does not the look, I feel like I'm like, hey guys, can you like give him some pointers here? Like I feel like we could step things up a little bit.
yeah, well, that's why I said that. I like, but that was my response in our group message. Like, if he's just doing all this stuff, then where's the agent saying, "All right, look, let's work with this"? Or, you know, he's clearly in there with Ethan Page, so that Ethan can make sure, you know, the kid's settled and nothing goes awry. And, you know, that's Ethan's credit. Now, he shouldn't be down there, you being used that way, but that should be Sean Spears. But, you know, but the kid had a fine debut. He even got some talk time in the back at later on the show. Like, yeah, like, not every debut has to be a win, but, you know.
Oh yeah, not everything's gonna blow you out of the water. Like to me, it's if there wasn't any major faux pas. If they let his character kind of grow, it will help.
Yeah.
So second match, one that oh boy, I am feeling for one Josh Briggs at this point. As you, I'm going to steal one of your lines. I'm not sure if he wants to answer his phone.
Yeah, I missed the line that Chris pointed out about Booker saying that something about you know, make sure, I guess there was something about like releases around WrestleMania and stuff. And I didn't hear that, but it's like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? Why mention that
Oh,
sort of thing?
yeah.
You
You
know?
know, since I usually watch it after the fact, I kind of forgot to listen for that line. So
Yeah.
I can neither confirm nor deny that got said, but yeah, like I feel like it applies to him at this point. Like as much as you and I both said that Shiloh Hill's at least his personality is coming out, but I also felt like Briggs had a good personality for a while, and it's just you can't sustain it losing that much.
Well, yeah, you can't be the badass that loses, but also like the tough guy thing doesn't come across right. So when they were when it was Henley, Fallon Henley, Brooks Jensen, and Josh Briggs playing like the older brother, like the tougher older brother, that actually worked. That whole thing worked pretty well. And then of course they just break him up for no reason, you know? And then Brooks Jensen,
Everyone wants to go their own way, and
yeah, and then Jensen wins like a hardcore match and he gets kicked out of the
the
Culling
calling.
with no fanfare, and it ends up in TNA with no fanfare. And it's like, this is the most bizarre thing I've seen. And like Josh Briggs just, he's floundered since.
Yeah, I mean, his best time was with another tag team partner. I'm trying to think of the Japanese
Unimura.
gentleman.
Yeah,
Oh
that was
yeah,
great. Yeah.
Inamura. That was Briggs' second best stuff. And I've kind of liked the promos. I'm okay with the presentation, but there's just been something with the fans that hasn't really clicked for him.
No, I think his presentation is terrible. It's just indie big dude, you know? Like, oh, that guy should get a look from somebody else. He's that guy at the indie show. You shouldn't look like that. You know, like, you still shouldn't be, hey, that indie guy should get a look from WWE or AEW when you're on WWE TV. You know? Like, I thought they butchered him up when they made him cut his hair gave him like the yokel and all this. Like when he was in Evolve, he was kind of straggly haired, unkempt. He was unpleasant, and it worked. And then they strip him down and make him some cowboy. Like, why? But yeah, I don't think there's, unless something drastic happens, there's not much of a future for him. And I think that writing's been on the wall for a while. Please vote or
Yeah,
not.
yeah. This matchup really made me think about it, 'cause then we started the Tony D'Angelo is just destroying everyone after matches, and we haven't gotten a reason yet. He's just been arrested a couple of times at this juncture.
And it's like I don't understand what they're doing. And I this isn't my original thought, but he was right. Like Brian Alvarez pointed out, like Tony D'Angelo had a gimmick that was goofy, but his charisma and his talent got that gimmick over. So what do they do? Now they've taken it all away and he doesn't talk anymore. Well, what the hell are you doing? Like let the guy be what he was.
Yeah, or even just truly let him evolve into whatever the next character is, but he's got to be able to talk to evolve that character. It is kind of weird, though, that he's gone from the Don to basically a hitman, so he's taken a step back in the pecking order here. But what are you gonna do, I guess? It's still another D'Angelo, I guess, is still another one where it's really wild that he is still down there at this point.
And especially with like this gimmick that they're putting him in now, this looks like he's going to be down there for a little bit more. This shit ain't working on the main roster. Like the other gimmick would have. Just being like that guy, but this one, I'm walking around with a bigger beard and a ponytail. So, it's like they've reduced his natural charisma and just made him stand around. Like it's stupid. Unless we wait for Rizzo to get better so she can go up with him. But I don't know.
Oh,
But
yeah, it feels like that's gonna take some time.
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Your favorite tag team, the Vanity
Holy
Project.
shit. Why is this on NXT? I'm being dead serious, dude. You see it, right? This
Takes
is
on
trash. Oh
Chase
my
University.
God.
This felt very AEW to me.
This felt very like TNA to me. What are these people? Oof. It's bad. Bad.
The only thing I can say is that at least for the Vanity Project, it would seem like we have some very young gentlemen involved in this. I guess I'm okay with bad if that's what that was.
Yeah. The only th
I kind of get the gimmick that they're going for. It's kind of repulsive, but hey, some of those gimmicks should be.
It's not so much like they're, it's not the characters, it's everything else. It's like these, what are these guys, 19 years old? I guess, I don't know. They're all rail thin.
They are,
And
yeah,
it's like, what?
that is, I guess it's better than the alternative in some ways. Like, they feel okay enough to put these guys on TV. I feel like so many guys have not gotten any TV time. recently that I don't know if I'm being too much of a beggar in this situation, you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
there's at least some young men's talent that's getting on TV. It's definitely clear though that really even all four have a while to go before they're the ones getting the
Yeah.
call up.
I'll say I don't remember Kale Dixon. Well, one, wearing that knee brace. So I'm guessing that's why they haven't been wrestling or been on TV much. But
Oh,
the I
yeah.
thought he looked good. He was the only one that stood out in this match.
Oh.
So, but yeah, dude, I as soon as I saw Vanity Project last week, I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Like, they're not ready for Evolve, let alone being on CW, you know? Ugh.
Well, yeah, you gotta be ready at all times. Gotta be ready at all times. Especially when the main roster needs a few more bodies.
Yeah. Oh boy. And now we're starting the bleak period of the show, by the way.
Jada
Oh
Parker.
no. Don't you dare. Don't you dare skip over the
What?
Keanu Carver interview with Blake
Okay.
Howard. Oh my God. Where did this Blake Howard guy come from?
He popped
Oh.
in to our lives maybe a week or two
Yeah,
ago.
well, he needs to pop out. Oh my God.
It is really weird, to have a male backstage correspondent. Just because it's I know that Byron Saxton still occasionally does it. He's so good at it though that you kind of forget in some ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blake Howard is yeah, he's still got a way to go to himself.
Yes.
If he's gonna move along, this is definitely again we're talking development territory here for sure.
Yeah, so develop him, then put him on TV. It's that was so bad. Oh, you're not gonna answer my question. Oh, okay. So, no, Keanu, I just, oh, get out. Not when you've got, and I can't remember her name. She got pregnant and then came back.
Kelly Kincaid.
Why is she doing it? She's light years ahead of this guy. You know, like don't change things up. Because we,
Yeah.
by the way, we don't need this Blake Howard guy. Peace the fuck out. Ah, oh well, I almost made a whole show. Like, get out of here. Unless someone's leaving. Well, then find somebody better. Because I'm tired of that. I'm out. This guy stinks. Mike Rome stinks. I can't take him. By the way,
Oh.
to tie this back into Justin Roberts, he sucks too. Holy God.
Not really have a problem with Mike Rome.
I hate his hair. I hate his whole smug look. I
Yeah.
hate everything. Oh, and another guy who's it's ties to NXT, Booker T's co-host on the Hall of Fame podcast they do, Brad Gilmore, I think his name is. Fuck
Sure.
that guy too. He sucks too. Oh my God. Why does every guy like in wrestling have to like every announcer like seemingly have to have some weird ass hair? You're not the star. Just look normal. The people you're introducing are the stars. Like, you're not Alicia Taylor, and you're sure as shit ain't Samantha Irvin. Don't worry about it. Get people's names right and get out of the goddamn ring. Oh, piss me off.
So, yeah, you must be okay with I keep on forgetting what the SmackDown announcer's name is, 'cause
I am fine. I don't remember who he is. That's why.
he gets himself in and out of there.
Exactly.
I
You
think
aren't Finkel. You aren't Mean Gene.
he has
You
an
know, you're
interesting
not Gary Michael Capetta,
he
you
still has a
know.
very interesting delivery to me that I
But
find quite fascinating.
I don't know why I say Gary Michael Capetta, but that was the first and only
Yeah,
WCW. Who was the WCW guy? It was him and somebody else, right?
I believe
Shit.
so.
I know Michael Buffer. That's the obvious one. Shit, who the hell else was it? Oh, well, anyways.
Okay.
But Keanu Carver's sitting there going, I ain't answering your questions. What kind of
Well,
dumbass question is this? And I'm like, well, that's not exactly agreeing to what Shawn Michaels wanted you to do. He wanted you to give an interview and you didn't do it. What are you
yeah,
so
and
mad
that's
about?
it. Yeah, it's a whole segment just in and of itself. Like, you're not putting Blake Howard in a good spot where it's just like you're gonna get no answers, and it's just
Yeah.
like, well, there's gonna be nothing funny about this. So, like, what are we doing here?
And then we followed it
So.
with another person angry at something. What was Jada Parker talking about? This whole promo made no fucking sense at all. So, they want me to change. They want me to look. They say I don't look the part. I'm like, who says that? Who said that? Literally no one has ever said Jada Parker doesn't fit or Jada Parker's not talented. No one's ever said that.
It's another one of those. I feel like it's very similar, although at this point they played it up enough with JC Jane that it's, I guess, become a legitimate thing after the fact.
Well, yeah,
About her not being like they've backdoored that after it was not a thing into a thing because they've been doing it for like a year now. And it feels like this is something very similar, or could be something very similar. Because, like you said, like I'm with you. Like it's just like, huh? Like what are you?
I have not, it went out forever.
Like no one's holding you back. Like what are we doing here?
Yeah, you've been in a spotlight in some sort of thing. Like if this was Nikita Lyons, I guess maybe. But this is Jada Parker. She was on the Women's Evolution pay-per-view. She was in the Royal Rumble. She's been, I think, wasn't she on SmackDown for like an episode?
I think she was on for a
You've
match or
been the
so.
centerpiece. They got you away from OTM to go and do things on your own. You clearly stand out. You clearly have a following. So everything she was saying made zero sense. Zero. Because even Blake Monroe's not saying that about her. So it doesn't even tie in to that.
Yeah, and I guess that's the only reason I could make the comparison. Like the situations are very different with what JC Jane was dealing with, but
Yeah.
this was because this was by her promo. It was kind of delusional. It was pretty easy
Yeah.
for Blake Monroe to bag on her, quite
Yeah.
frankly. This is
Yeah.
just like this is going to be easy to dunk on her.
Yeah. I'm hoping that like this is one of those things that Jada Parker beats her, and then that's Blake's, appearance at the
Oh.
Royal Rumble day. So
Yeah, I
yeah.
could see this as a stepping stone moment if they want to do that. Am I missing? Oh no, not really missing anything there. Next up, really on NXT, Sean Legacy versus Eli Knight. Spot in the
That's
ladder
fine.
match for the vacant NXT championship.
Yeah, basically it's Sean Legacy versus not Javon Evans or not Leon Slater.
I'm just like
I mean, come on. We all
the
see it.
second the guy said Eli Knight, I'm like, did they have to change from Kevin Knight because Kevin Knight's already on TV?
Well, I started thinking Eli Drake, LA Knight's old name. And I was like, what? Like, oh, no. It's Eli Knight. Like, what? Yeah.
Yep, I was unsurprised that Sean Legacy won this thing. Tony D'Angelo attacks and then officially gets arrested. Covered that part already. Oh yeah, we Fatal Influence versus Zaruka
Well,
versus
don't forget Tony D'Angelo got arrested
Yeah.
finally for beating up Sean. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Well, I said we covered that already. So,
Yeah. Well, not him getting arrested,
and
but yeah, he did get arrested.
We
Or
did mention
rooster.
that already, so.
Oh, all right, I missed that. Yeah.
That
Oh, don't forget the Vanity Project. One of the guys ended up kissing Joe Hendry.
oh yeah, did I
It doesn't fucking matter. Let's just get to
get
the end.
to that? That was kind of funny. Oh yeah, the women's triple threat match here.
Yeah.
Ren QCC third match or third team in the match here. But no surprise, TNA cannot get enough Sol Ruka. They cannot get enough Zarya at the
Yeah.
current moment.
Why in the hell is this for like the Knockouts title? You know, like, what are we doing? I thought, like, I was like, oh, we haven't had any TNA people on. Oh, great.
It's the too many championships involved in NXT problem here that we've talked about on many occasions at this point.
Yeah, it just
Because TNA titles are floating around, there are too many titles there.
Well, TNA, I mean, well, the Iconics, or no, what were they called? The Inspiration, I think they were called there. They just left. So they're
Oh.
down two women. But now I haven't watched TNA today, but they have other women on the roster. Start using them. You know, like, make the most of your time. But anyways, yeah, this match was fine. These triple threat matches with tag teams are stupid. Oh, you got to make sure the only one person, just make it like Tornado, you know? Just have all the teams fighting. It makes more sense that way.
Well, yeah, it always makes it feel awkward because the tag team matches always seem way more organized than the singles matches. In the
Yeah.
singles matches, they're like, oh, it's a triple threat. All rules are out the window.
Yeah.
And like, there's like tables, ladders, chairs all the time. These triple threat tag team matches, it's like it's a standard match.
Yeah,
It's
it is. Yeah.
really weird how it ends up happening.
Yeah,
And
it's
this was no different. Like it just felt like a regular match. It was
Yeah,
fine, but it felt like a regular match.
it was fine. And then, you know, you still got the drama with Zaruka going on. It's like, when are we pulling the trigger on this already?
Oh
You
my
know,
gosh.
like, we stop.
Yeah, that was one of the few things on NXT this week when Sol Ruka popped up. I'm like, huh. I was like, that is another very interesting call to not be on the main roster at the current moment.
Yeah. But yeah, I like this match was fine. Just a main event for the titles of another company. Not like, I mean, I know that they can't just insert them, you know, because the women's tag team titles, you know, on the main roster got all everyone going after them, but
No.
I don't know. I just didn't like that aspect at all. I just wanted to be done with TNA, you know, and I'm sure TNA doesn't want that, but yeah.
I think the crossover will continue, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
no getting out of it. Okie doke. Well, I know you don't have a bell time beer over there.
No.
I have some Casual Animal Brewing Company Animal Control Cold IPA. Given the weather that is currently cold, I thought that this was a good one to bust out. It's a nice solid lager here. It's an IPA style lager, so we definitely get some additional hoppage in here that is not normally in just the standard lager. And 5.5% alcohol, so it's a very light beer. Should one find themselves out in Kansas City, Missouri? I know that is a long way from home for me, but Casual Animal makes some pretty tasty beers. I want to say that this is my fourth beer from them at this point, and they have all been pretty daggone good. So yeah, should you find yourselves where the Kansas City Chiefs won't be soon, you can go to this brewery. So Belltime beer suggestion from Matt DeFrank 11. He's at Granny Mays. The brand is at Sunk Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.